Hello, this is the Daily Encouragement Net podcast for Monday, January 25th, 2010. We are Stephen and Brooksine Weber. Our ministry is Daily Encouragement Net. We're preparing these messages each weekday as a means of encouragement and biblical instruction. Today's message is titled Bearing Burdens, and two scripture texts from the Old and New Testaments are part of our reading today. The Old Testament text concerns the wonderful healing of the commander of the Syrian army named Naaman. 2 Kings 5:3 and then Galatians 6 verse 1.
If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. Bear one another's burdens.
Are you bearing a burden for someone today? Perhaps you keep a prayer journal. In that journal, you write down the names of those who stand in the need of prayer. There are those we pray for out of obedience to the scriptures that admonishes us to, quote, pray for one another. That's James 5, verse 16.
But then there are those special prayer needs when we deeply bear one another's burdens. The kind that might awaken us at 3 a.m. in the morning and drive us to our knees in intercessory prayer. It often involves more than just taking that person's needs to God and leaving it there. The Spirit might compel us to make a phone call, to listen and pray with that individual, or to pay a personal visit. Perhaps God will even speak to us about being a part of the solution to the burden that we are bearing.
One of the most touching stories in Scripture is written about a young servant girl born in Israel whose name is not even recorded. She was taken captive in Syria and served Naaman's wife. Naaman was the commander of the Syrian army and was very wealthy and highly esteemed in his country. He had led the Syrians to victory repeatedly, including victory over Israel.
Well, Naaman had a critical health problem for which there was no cure. He had leprosy, and this would certainly affect his present standing as commander and very possibly bring about an early death. But this young servant girl bore a burden for her master and his family. I believe it's safe to assume that she prayed about it passionately. As a child, she had learned about the God of Israel and dared to bring up the name of a famous prophet who had performed miracles in her homeland. And I quote from 2 Kings 5:3, she said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy."
Now, this had to be a statement of faith, since Luke tells us in 4 verse 27, "And there were many in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." Now, we've got a little bit ahead of the story in sharing that, but it tells us the faith that this young lady had. The servant girl did not know of any other people being healed of leprosy through the prophet Elisha. She had the courage and enough faith in God that he would bring about the needed healing if only Naaman would go see this prophet Elisha.
By inference, we could assume that this young lady had brought this up to Naaman's wife before when she said to her pleadingly, "If only." She had likely bore this burden for some time and brought it to God in intercessory prayer.
As a good servant, she desired the health and welfare of her master, though she was forced by her captivity to live in a country foreign to her godly upbringing. Yet God had a bigger plan, since he often works in unconventional ways to accomplish his purposes.
Well, now think with me for a minute. A young, nameless servant girl is giving instruction to the famous commander of the Syrian army. This commander goes before his powerful, authoritative king to ask permission to obey his servant girl's instructions to visit a prophet in Israel. And then the king of Israel is forced to trust God in a situation that could turn out badly. For when he received the letter from the other king, he cried out, "Why does this fellow," speaking of the king of Syria, "send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me?" Well, and lastly, Naaman had to humble himself before God and obey the, quote, and I put this in quotes, foolish instructions given to him by Elisha. It would seem that God wanted to teach Naaman, the king of Syria, and the king of Israel that they really were not all that powerful after all, and each of them needed a good dose of humility.
Well, the good news, and what makes it part of the Bible story, surely, is that Naaman finally quit bickering to himself about Elisha's strange instructions to dip in the dirty Jordan 7 times. When he fully obeyed, he then received the healing his wife's servant girl had told him about. After his healing, he stood before Elisha and proclaimed, "Now I know there is no God in all the world except in Israel."
Sometimes we bring the burdens of others to the Lord and wonder why there isn't an immediate answer to the very request that we deliver. But Naaman's miraculous story reminds us that God is accomplishing his will in ways that we can't always understand and in a time frame compatible with his plans, not always our own.
Well, let us continue to bear one another's burdens and trust him completely for his will to be accomplished.
Let's pray together. Father, we know that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Help us to know that as we pray, we can trust you to hear and answer our prayer in your time and in your way. We want to also remember that our time of prayer is not just for the benefit of those whom we pray for, but it is also powerful and effective in our personal relationship with you. Keep us humble, faithful, and ever trusting, just like the servant girl who bore the burden of Naaman's leprosy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let me just add a note today as I studied this chapter this morning. It really ministered to my heart. And I hope that you'll read 2 Kings chapter 5 to get the context and the fuller understanding of Naaman's healing. The healing was available, but it did take Naaman's complete obedience before it took place. He fought that actually for a while. It's a reminder to us that God stands ready to answer prayer, but at times the person we're praying for might be unwilling to receive it, since it doesn't always come the way we expect. In other words, Naaman was looking for a different instruction, one perhaps a little more challenging, or perhaps using a bit more intellect than dipping in the muddy Jordan. After all, the rivers of Damascus were far superior to Jordan in Naaman's mind. And they probably actually were. But that's not what God told Elisha to convey to Naaman. I'm sure glad he eventually listened to his servants and did some double dipping and a little more double dipping in the Jordan, or we probably wouldn't know about this amazing and inspiring story.
Amen. Thank you, Brooksine. A great deal of the study in today's lesson was based upon Brooksine's devotions today. I was out for several hours this morning, and I had the shell of a message dealing with bearing burdens, and lo and behold, I come home, and she had a fully developed message from about 300 or 400 words to some 800, I think. Well, we do have a few photos on the site today, one related to contextual photos showing Naaman dipping in the river, obviously not a photo, but an artist's rendition, and then one of our friend Doris High, another interesting picture that she takes that I basically, with her permission, take off her blog and are able to use on this site. Several songs today, two of them by Babby Mason, a recording artist we've enjoyed for many years, one titled Pray On, and another in the course of finding that song showed up on a related video, Trust His Heart. And that is also by her and another musician who wrote it. And then a song by Scott Wesley Brown that just came up again in a related way called He Will Carry You. These are all available as YouTube videos if you care to listen to them. Have a blessed day today, and remember, continue to bear one another's burdens.